The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people? On the regular chat, North Sea says, good evening, good evening. You might see a little change of the camera angle and all. I'm setting up the new decor, and I'm making tests. Very soon, we're going to get a beautiful new background. I'm working hard on a Minecraft-inspired texture background. Tonight, we'll be talking later about Fuentes being on Tucker Carlson. Not published yet, but people are getting excited. It's been kind of announced by Alex Jones and confirmed by Nick. So we'll talk about what that means. But before, we will be talking about my ex who decided to become a public personality and went on the Alberta Housewives, tarnished my reputation. It's all so weak. And we'll not get into the detail, but I'll tell the real story on my side. And that's it. You know, it's like, okay, she goes out there and now claims that I'm a murderer. I must have killed Elora. I deny this, of course. It's completely ridiculous. How would she know? How would she know? She got to know me as a result of the disappearance of Mama JF. She never knew Mama JF. She never knew me back in the Mama JF days. But, you know, she claims that somehow I made an admission in a conversation in a car somewhere, unrecorded, that led her to believe, oh, he must be the killer. Listen, this is a very low-quality appearance. Extremely disappointing. I think she's going to regret it down the line later in life. Otto's Insight says, I'm a journalist working for one of the main newspaper in Sweden, approximately 2 million readers daily, and I'd like to interview you. Well, sure, you know that anyone can send me an email or DM on Twitter, DM on Discord. I'm always open to interviews. So, I've already tweeted my denial of some of the crazy stuff she says, but I'm not going to do a detailed denial tonight. Tonight, I want to drop a truth bomb because there's these ways that people lie to themselves, and if you just drop one truth, the whole narrative falls down. And her whole story and what the Alberta Housewives have concocted with her, it's all annihilated out of existence by a single fact. I separated from this woman, okay, up to a month ago. This woman was loving me, was getting inseminated by me, was making my baby through being pregnant, was married to, was about to marry me up to 1 month ago. So when you drop that truth bomb, and I decided that I was separating from her. When you drop that truth bomb, you start realizing that, hey, doesn't make sense that she would have acquired the conviction that I'm a murderer a year and a half ago. What, you got inseminated by a murderer? Wait, you knew he was a murderer, but you stayed kind to him? You didn't run away? You didn't fear for your life and run away? No, she stayed with me accepted my sperm. Now she's out there saying he's fat. It's as low as this show. He's fat. Let me drop another truth bomb. The very first time I spoke to this woman, I said the following. That was maybe the first sentence. Like, after hello, how you doing? I want you to know, I said this, quote per quote, okay? I said, I want you to know a couple of things. I'm 41 year old. I mean, I was maybe not 41 back then, but I'm whatever age I was back then. I'm fat. You're gonna, and if you want to have a relationship with me, and I have children already, okay? And if you want a relationship with me, I can do maybe some jogging and maybe being with you and in love. Maybe I'll lose a couple of pounds, but I will always be fat. I will always have health issues related to this. And I will always be first and foremost the father of my children. And you will never have a say other than voluntary engagement with me. Maybe you have some preferences and I'll let them in, but I will be the ultimate decision maker of the life with my children and how I raise them. And any babies we make together, you can decide. If we disagree on something, you win. But for my existing children, I will forever make all of the decisions in their lives. And to the extent that we disagree, I will win. It was a very, very clear deal. So why did she get inseminated for 2 years by someone who she believed was a fat, ugly wife murderer? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because it's invented, this whole narrative that she's been developing these beliefs about me. The reason she is currently coming out and trying to make trouble is that she wants to intimidate me. And I am currently the victim of crimes, okay? Literal crimes. Crimes that could put some people in jail, including her and from Rocky, the Alberta Housewives, down to this morning. I am receiving threats by email, and they're showing me videos and pictures of me, including pictures of me in underwear and with my children, okay? And I don't know what the fuck they want. What do you want? You want money? You want to stress me? You think you're going to cancel JF with private pictures? You have no idea. You have no idea what I've gone through to be here. I do not submit to extortion. I am a trained agent of resistance against extortion blackmail. You will never fuck with my mind. I am so ready for more. You have no idea. And yet they're sending me... here. Yesterday, I actually took a picture of my legs and I tweeted it because it's like, okay, so that's the biggest thing you got on me? Underwear JF? I'm going to take a picture of myself in underwear. Now, they sent me another video. You better not argue too much because we have this video of you. I will describe right here what the video does. So it's like the exclusivity, poof, is stolen. Doesn't exist anymore. It's a video of me in underwear. It's 4 a.m. approximately. And I've just gotten woken up by one of my child crying. And I step out of bed and I'm like, I just got woken up. Like I'm hearing, ah, daddy. And I walk like this in underwear. And my son is on the bed. Okay. He's on his bed and she's filming. Somehow this fucking bitch is filming secretly this scene. My child is on the bed. I see that he has a dirty diaper. He just pooed during the night. And so I'm like, I'm totally like, I'm almost sleeping away. I'm sleeping and standing. And I open his diaper. I wipe his butt. Wipe his penis. Everything is clean. Getting the poo out. Getting the poo out on the side. Getting the poo out. I drop the diaper. Put a new diaper. He's crying. Now he's calming down a little bit. Put his pants. And then I go back to bed like, Is this the worst you got, ladies? Is this the worst you got? I'm fucking sleeping, standing. I'm barely awake, and I take good care of my son. Clean his butt. Is that the best you got, bitches? Holy shit, like, it's like, if you're gonna extort me with something good. Cocaine, being sniffed on the ass of a prostitute, human trafficking, something. This scene that I just described is what a good father does even if he's half asleep. I wouldn't want to be any other person. I wouldn't want to be any other person than this. All of this to say, the representation that is done by this ex on Alberta Housewives is crumbling once you realize that she didn't leave me. She didn't run away from me. She was still making my babies up to a month ago. She was still loving me and still sending me text messages of love and support. Because we've been living separately for 9 months because she wanted to do her pregnancy in the U.S. Now, the reason she comes out is she wants to cause nervousness in me because she wants vengeance for the fact that I separated from her. Okay, it's like get your little vengeance, but it's not going to last long. And she thinks she's going to cut. She thinks I'm terrified about the Child Protective Service of Alberta. I'm not. I'm not because I take good care of my children. I'm not because when I sleep, I'm still a good dad. See? When I'm at my worst in underwear, I'm still a good dad. And so I'm not nervous about the kind of trouble they're trying to seed or whatever it is. Someone is telling me, Jeff, we need to ban this guy. Okay, this yeah, let's ban this guy. This guy keeps coming back. So let me tell you the real story of what happens. And the reason I had to leave her, because it's not an easy decision. It's one, I believe it's the first woman I truly explicitly say, I am separating. Bye. So this woman came into my life, so I warned her, like, look, I'm happy in life. I have my children. I could die in 20 years from now having accomplished nothing more, and I would still have had a successful life. And so you come in as a bonus and know that I'm fat. I'm stubborn. I'm also a very good father, and I will never let you. I will never let you change that. And so, we can live in the same house. You can even participate as a stepmom to the extent that you like it, but you have nothing to do with them, and you're not forced. And you deliver the services of a stepmom as you wish. And as far as the decisions goes, they're all mine. They're all mine. It is my legal right. I have also responsibilities toward Elora, Mama JF. I have responsibilities to raise these children in the setting and the environment and the kind of parental philosophy that both I and Mama JF shared, which is basically liberal, libertarian parental philosophy, which means very self-initiated, self-motivated children. My children are advanced in terms of their grade, in terms of their advancement through the scholar system, because I homeschool them. And most importantly, they choose when they do school. They choose when they do arts. They choose when they do math. And at their choice, speed, they are in advance on the standards, on the average and the what is required of children in general, up to a year in advance for my daughter. So I take very good care of them, and it was very clear, we can do whatever you like, we can inseminate, I'm going to have a baby with you, we can form a family, but if I have to create a house with two floors, I don't care, I will always be their father. And that, eventually, is the one condition of my couple that my ex came to break, and that led me to be forced to separate from her. And the problem, and by the way, this whole stream, the goal is not to frame my ex as bad. I don't care about ruining her reputation the way she did yesterday, the way she did, 2 days ago approximately, when she came out and started claiming that I was a wife beater. Oh, and by the way, she acknowledges that I'm not a wife beater of her. I'm not a wife beater of her. I'm a wife beater, maybe, of some other woman. She has the impression that I may have beaten other women. Now, consider the fucking miracle that I have so much, as a wife beater and a murderer, I would have so much self-control that I was able to do a whole 2-year-long relationship with this woman without ever beating her. It's like I'm a conditional wife beater. So she goes out to ruin my reputation. She films all these secret videos, which, by the way, I saw all of this coming. I knew when she started converting toward more threatening behavior, I knew that she was gathering evidence on me. And so that's one thing to know, guys. When you're in a relationship, understand there's months of relationship at the end where she's not even interested in you anymore. She's just gathering evidence. And you have to outplay them on that. The real issue that happened in this couple is that this person, my ex, is socially clueless. And I'm not even saying this to shame her. I find this the cutest thing about her, I'll be honest. The cutest fucking thing. She's socially retarded in a way you can't believe. Okay, like Mama JF was a normie in terms of her understanding of social relationships compared to this girl. So we're talking about someone who has such a deep autism, and it's such a specific autism that she is unable to process context. Okay, cutest thing about her. A fucking lost artist of the US who's coming to get inseminated by JF, but she has this deficit, this emotional deficit, which to me has always been very minimal, didn't bother me. I found it cute. Sometimes when you're in a conversation and everyone knows what people are feeling, where people come from, she would be, on some discussions, she would be totally beside the track. Like not understanding innuendos, not understanding how the other person feel, not understanding maybe that the other person is joking. So all of this, very cute, very heartwarming. But eventually, this feature of her mind came to break her relationship. And it happened about 10 months Between 10 months to a year and a half ago, I started seeing signs that unfortunately this ex was an unfit stepmom. I'm not saying she's not able to care for a child, theoretically, some other child, some child of hers, but her lack of understanding of other minds made her role as a stepmom more and more bad for my children. And I was, and to give you the example, because we're not, she wasn't dangerous to my children ever, and she didn't hurt them, okay? But just to give you an idea of those were very small issues, very small emotional issues that would have been easily fixed. But for example, you know, my children are used to a father who lets them set their schedule. So my children, they expect when they wake up, Papa, I want to do schooling today. Papa, I want to do math. I don't care about math today. I want to do art. And it's like, you know what? You got it. They are. Oh, Papa, I want to do some cakes. I want to cook, to bake today. I want to go to the park. I want to see our friend. So that's how my children live. And this ex came in, and I had very great hopes that she would be a potentially good stepmom, or that at least if it didn't work, that she could be neutral and stay away. Just don't mess up this beautiful father-child relationship that we have going. Because my children, they're never in crisis when they're with me. They're never in having their needs not met. They get everything they want with me, and not in a kind of crowning king or queen treatment style, but in the libertarian philosophy of parenting style where, okay, you have a need, I'm going to address it. And, oh, if your need is capricious or if you're demanding stuff that doesn't make sense, no, then there's a no. The stepmom came in with her lack of social understanding, and she confronted my children with a completely different parental philosophy. And these children, I'm at the center of their lives. I am their only remaining parent, okay? And it created an emotional clash, because there they are like, oh yeah, Papa, I want to do, I would like to eat chicken nuggets. But my ex comes in and no chicken nuggets. We're doing the Christmas tree. And my children were like, I want chicken nuggets. Let's do the Christmas tree later. I want chicken nuggets. And my ex would be like, no, no chicken nuggets. We're doing the Christmas tree. And I understand that with some children, that would be okay. Some children will follow you on this type of behavior. But not with my children. My children are habituated to a completely different lifestyle than this. And I would say we were at the two extremes of this continuum between libertarian and authoritarian. I'm not an authoritarian. Never been. It's never been in my heart. And so I started noticing those signs, a year and a half ago. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give a chance. First, I try to explain to this new stepmom, look. Pay attention to what she just said. She wants the chicken nuggets. So she's not going to be interested in doing other things. Why don't you meet her need of chicken nuggets, or let me handle the chicken nuggets? But don't try to force her into an activity that she doesn't have her mind ready for. And unfortunately, and this is the big fatality of this relationship. Unfortunately, instead of just changing her behavior or accepting to step back, the stepmom developed an absolute psychotic set of beliefs about my children. And this is when you know they're becoming dangerous. Because She started having the conception, these children are broken. There's something wrong with these children. They're always yelling at me. There's something wrong with these children. They're tapping on the floor. There's something wrong with these children. They don't like Christmas trees. But she misunderstood. It's not that they don't like Christmas trees. We do colleges and arts every day right now. They like it. They love building a tree. They will love doing anything. But you have to choose your moments. They are self-scheduled, self-motivated beings. I made them that way. I habituated them to this. And coming to break this dynamic was the stepmom who, unfortunately, has a special... She's very intelligent, capable of doing a two-hour podcast about me, you know, and speaking in eloquent sentence. But she has a very specific deficit. She doesn't understand emotional contextual processing. So when my children were like, no, I'm not doing this, she reacted by saying they are retarded. They suffer from a serious mental psychiatric retardation problem that needs to be fixed by medication and a doctor. And it's like, bitch, you're with the wrong guy. You're with the wrong guy. And by the way, I call her a bitch lovingly here. I never call her a bitch in person, but I'll call her a bitch now that she claims I'm a murderer. Bitch, you're the wrong, you tested the wrong guy on this. The fact is, I do believe that certain children have certain major diagnostic problems. They need to get diagnosed and they need to get fixed medically, psychologically, psychotherapy, whatever. But this this issue that I've talked about is absolutely misunderstood by her, because she cannot acknowledge her fault. She thinks that they must be wrong. To her, she can only be right because she has the authoritarian mind. She doesn't study the possibility that, hey, you know, with a little rounding of your behavior, with a little chicken nugget here, and then we'll do the Christmas tree. All of it wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have confrontations like this. Now, there are some people who are good inside and who are capable intellectually of saying, okay, you know, maybe these children need some different handling. And by the way, what I was demanding of this... stepmom is absolutely minimal, a minimal understanding of these things. And let me tell you, the average human out there, the average old female, when I go to the church, there's a beautiful old lady, she cares for the children. I hand her my children, and she doesn't have confrontations with my children. Why? Because she understands normal children emotional interaction. She understands that there are certain children you can't just say, you're gonna do the Christmas tree. And so what I was demanding as a minimum level of emotional maturity is out there. 98% of the females are prepared and capable of doing this. And in fact, if they're too stubborn or too authoritarian, they're able to step back and say, look, Jeff, those are your children. Just handle, can you handle the chicken nugget situation? And I was happy to do it. So that is the fundamental thing that happened about 9 to 16 months ago, approximately, that led me to say, okay, we have a problem here and we're going to have to work on this. Now, the fact is, this was time delayed, and I had the opportunity to give it a lot of time because I knew that my ex, the stepmom, would go back to the U.S. to give birth to our child. She wanted to have her health insurance and her health services in the US. Okay. So I knew that, okay, I knew that there was a family problem here, minimal, you know, not something that led the children to suffer, to be harmed, nothing major. But I knew there was a fundamental problem. And I thought, you know what, it's good that she's leaving, because then we're going to be on the phone and we're going to be able to fix this. I'm going to teach her some elements of, hey, that's how my daughter reacts. That's how my son reacts. And it's going to get better. But it didn't get better. It didn't get better. So I let her go back to the US. And what happens on the phone? She goes into psychosis and ruminating about her experience with my children. And she starts developing paranoid beliefs and things that she's not even seeing. Like, I'll give you an example of these paranoid beliefs. My children are friends. They're very good friends with two individuals in our neighborhood. I let the individuals come in my house and they play together. They do all sorts of things. Train, and they hold each other by the hand, they dance, they play about buses, and she's like, come with me in the buses, we have to drive quick. They are doing all sorts of games and plays together. I celebrate this. I call the stepmom and I'm like, hey, it's super great. I mean, they're finally attaching with you know, deeply with a specific individual, and that's their friend. That's their best friend. It's great to see. Stepmom goes fucking insane. What are you doing with other children in your house? Are you a pedo? You're going to fuck her? Is that what you're going to... It's like, oh, man. Because I'm a male, I cannot allow children in my home with permission of their parents, and they're just playing in the playroom. It's like, give me a fucking break, bro. It's like, I believe in communities to an extent. I mean, I'm kind of autistic, but I do believe in minimal community building and, you know, children of the neighborhood trusting each other, loving each other. And I'm not going to become a pedo at 41 after a whole life without crimes. I'm not going to become a fucking pedo all of a sudden, okay? So that was the relationship where it's like, oh, I don't want you to do this with them. I want you to do that, this and that. And she was trying to work to deprive me of normal relationship. And, you know, I'm not a normal guy. For me to have normal relationship is actually, it's actually something I need to actively seek, you know, and I was actively seeking, and I'm still, you know, living by all standard, a very normal life with my children. But she was opposing to this, and she started, oh no, I don't want you to have other kids in the house. It's like, this is my house. Get the fuck out, bitch. And so I tried, and the spontaneous pedo type, the Schrodinger pedo, and yeah, so psychosis took over her, and she started believing all sorts of things like this, like you're a pedo, and it was always in relation to my children. They were always the seed of her paranoia. The fact that I had a normal relationship with my children and even with other children of the neighborhood was, it was driving her crazy. And so what happened then? 9 months ago. So she's pregnant. She's in the US. And I'm like, look, it seems to put you in a state of nervousness when I update you about my children. How about I don't update you about my children anymore? How about you concentrate on your pregnancy, we make this new baby together, I will completely cut you out, I'm not going to keep you updated. And I keep doing my life, and you go on, and you keep birthing our baby. That's what matters in the end. And then in 9 months from now, when our baby is born, you can come back and we can work on these we can work on these things that you have to improve. And that seemed to be the most rational thing to do, because then my children would be protected, and then she could concentrate emotionally on her pregnancy. I've never demanded that she be anything of a stepmom. I've always thought you can be a stepmom to the extent you want. You can get the level of engagement you want, but I'm ready to be a 24/7 single father, even in a relationship with you. So I really don't care. You leave me all responsibilities with them. I will do them happily. And you can see in the videos that she's threatening me with, you can see that I'm a happy father. Like you can see that even if I'm half asleep, I'm like, let's change this diaper. Okay, let's clean the butt. And the fact that I stopped informing her about my children led her, rather than improve the situation, led her to develop more psychotic beliefs. Oh, you're not doing this. You're not doing this with the children. Oh, you're not brushing their teeth. It's like, wait a minute. Hadn't we agreed that I was stopping to inform you about anything regarding the children 9 months ago? So she started using her absence of beliefs as a justification to be worried and as a justification to say, JF is a bad father. JF is a bad father. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do this. But I do all of this. I do all of the care for the fundamental needs of my children. I do brush their teeth twice a day. I do school them. They are in advance in their school grades. The stepmom doesn't know that because she has cut herself from it, because she has asked me and shown me through her behavior that I shouldn't update her about this. So my children are growing normally and in fact, I would say above standard. And yet, the stepmom is in the U.S. and doesn't know anything about it. Because every time I would let her know something, she would interpret it negatively rather than positively. She would go, oh, well, you're a pedo. Oh, well, you're not doing it right. Oh, well, this and that. So this state of psychotic beliefs, and I don't claim that she has schizophrenia, but she was in a state of rumination, of unhealthy rumination, which in her autistic brain led her to make false conclusions about my children. So it's a kind of borderline psychosis, but that is kind of not in the schizophrenic part of the sense, but more in the normal female brain going into a psychosis and with the deficits of autism. So it came to a boiling point where at the moment of the birth of our child, she was in such a state of psychosis. JF is a bad father. I need to protect myself from him. He must have killed Elora or whatever. Whatever it is that the internal process had led to, she renamed our child. And instead of naming him Garyipi, as she had promised me, she renamed him with her last name. And to me, that was the drop that led to, okay, she's not interested in a complete family. She keeps complaining about my children. She wants to step over my parental liberty. Because by then, she was demanding that my children be treated for a disorder that they don't suffer from. A major, major retardation disorder. And I was like, bro, I'm a doctor, you know, I'm a doctor from a faculty of medicine. If my children suffered from this syndrome, I would absolutely know it. This didn't convince her. She was demanding, well, go get objective. Go get an objective standard. And she was researching and researching in her psychotic mind all of the services that could be given potentially to someone suffering from these syndromes. And she was like, look, there's a clinic in Alberta specializing for this. We could bring them there and they would get fixed. And I was like, I was reading the clinic conditions and all. And I was like, no, we couldn't even possibly get into this clinic because they don't accept children of that age. Because no one would diagnose this major disorder in children of that age. Because the symptoms wouldn't show up yet. And so she was like, well, but what about bringing them to the clinic? No, they wouldn't even let us in. And it's like, no, I'm not going to bring children that don't have a need to a massive, grave, like, treatment, like mental treatment. Just because you can't understand that they don't want to do a Christmas tree right now. Do you understand what went on here? And so, and at the very end of it, before separating from her, I tried the last ultimatum. I said, you know what? You've been annoying me with this for so long. I'm going to go to a doctor and I'm going to bring him whatever you want. Whatever text you want to write to the doctor, I'm going to write it on a notepad, the set of beliefs you have about my children, and I'm going to show it to the doctor, and I'm going to ask, doctor, is that true? And then her real game started to show. Because then she was like, oh, well, I don't know, you know. I don't know if I would trust a random doctor. I don't know if they're good in this clinic. And I said, okay. Let me go to my family doctor. I trust him. He's a good guy. License and everything. It's not like I'm not going in a back alley getting a random doctor here. This doctor, I trust him. So I go to this doctor and he's like, no, that makes no sense. They do not suffer from anything she says. They do not suffer from symptom A, symptom B. And he starts checking them. C, B, D, symptom E, F, G, H. He tests them. He tests their movement. He makes them clap their hand. He checks their motor reactions. He checks the anatomy of their cranium. Literally, like full exam with everything that the stepmom was claiming they had. And like the answer is no, they are not suffering from anything visible. And he said, you know, look at their development when they get into school age and everything. But right now there is absolutely no reason to diagnose them with anything. And he said, give them multivitamins because the winter is coming. It's good to have vitamin C. And so that is the story. That is the story. I came back from the doctor with an objective evaluation saying they have nothing. And instead of integrating this and saying, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. You know what, maybe I've made all of these psychotic beliefs in my head because I am emotionally unfit and I cannot process certain signs of child request, and you know, I have a deficit. It would have been great if she could have done this, but instead she reacted in frustration against the objective findings of the doctor. And at that moment, in a very rational and not hateful way, I have said, all right, we're done. And she said, what do you mean we're done? I said, we are separated starting now. You have no more obligation toward me. And I gave her a list of reasons where she could contact me. And I said, any other points than these things, I am not interested in talking to you anymore. This created a frustration in her, which led her to start going even more psychotic and going on the Alberta Housewives two days ago, trying to soil my name, to say that I'm a bad dad, to say that, and to try basically to get some investigation started against me by the local police in Alberta and the Child Protective Services of Alberta. And she's trying to do all of this while also trying to continue contacting me despite my request to her, stop contacting me. It's over. I had to make a decision between there's this child we have in the US that is just born. She changed her name, but he's still biologically my child. I have these two children, which are at the center of my life. And I have a stepmom who is trying to step over the boundaries that I had declared at the onset of our relationship. And I'm not allowing this. I had to make a tough call. It was a tough call, but it's a call. I cannot allow what has been declared and contractually agreed upon to be breached. It's like these women, they try to scratch a little more of it. They try to get a little more of your authority down. And it's like, no. I have made enormous efforts across the last year to try to fix this situation. And in fact, there was even a sex play we did. because this woman likes, sexual plays of all kinds. Like, oh, beat me, or oh, treat me bad, treat me like a slut. And there was this whole sexual play in which we engaged, in which she would be demanding that I punish her, and she was like, punish me for the wrongs I've made, and I would be like, you will never step on my fucking authority as a father ever again, you fucking bitch, psh, on the ass. And you know, she was enjoying this. She was totally trying to induce these situations in which I would get excited at the idea of slapping her ass. I would be like, you've been a very bad girl. You have been a very bad girl when you started trying to step over my parental rights. And so now she's out there. She demanded to be spanked. Oh, yes. Yes, Papa Jeff. Spank me because I've been a bad girl. And it's like, I was like, what the fuck? How can a woman be playing this, but also trying to continue her stepping over my rights? It's like, doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand fully her behavior, although it makes sense when you understand she's basically just trying to kidnap our child. She's trying to run away with our child. What she doesn't seem to understand is that she doesn't need to do all this. She doesn't need to try to ruin my life because I have no legal recourse. It's like, family courts. I'm not going to get my rights defended by family courts. But why are you even trying to wreck my life? I don't know. Now, there's another insinuation that she does on the Alberta Housewives, which is that I believe he may have strangled Elora to kill her. And the Alberta Housewives are like, well, why do you believe this? She's like, I'm not going to make, too much detailed descriptions, but something tells me that he kind of likes strangling. Oh, you little bitch. She doesn't want to give details, but I can. So, this woman likes sexual play that is kind of rough. But, you know, I've had 200 girlfriends approximately. She's not even in the top 100 in terms of roughness, okay? It's like, I've had women who are like, oh yeah, strangle more, JF. I've had women who are like, it's kind of dangerous how much they like it. This girl is kind of on a scale from 0 to 10, in terms of sex play of violence, she's like 3 out of 10, okay? And I've seen the whole range in my life. I've seen the whole range. I have put my hand around her throat once in our life, this stepmom. And it was at her request. She was like, treat me like a slut, JF. Treat me like your slut. Put your hand over my neck. I want you to squeeze harder. I'm yours. While I was fucking her. Now she concludes, because I put my hand over her neck at her request, that maybe I'm a murderer. Maybe I'm a killer, because I kind of like, you know, strangling. And by the way, I put my hand over her neck. Like, let's say that you can squeeze between 0 and 10. I squeezed at about 2 out of 10, because I know she's kind of a normie. Like, I have squeezed women at 4 or 5 when they're demanding more. You know, I mean, there was this Asian, like, fucking hot woman. She was like, do it harder, Jeff, do it harder. And I was like, oh, yeah, here, I'm squeezing harder here. So she makes this implication that somehow, because I've engaged in the sex that she was demanding, that it means I must have strangled Mama JF also. It's like you really are creating your own fucking world, you fucking delusional bitches. You really are living in fucking fantasy land. Frog Eyes has published my new Pornhub link, pornhub.com/JFG. I'll try to upload regularly there. I mean, there you go. You have the whole thing. That's what happens when you choose to be a public personality, is when you go out there, do some little insinuations about JF. JF has the right to clarify your insinuations. And there it is. For 50 minutes, I've been talking about this, and the insinuations have been clarified now. And now I hope that you guys who are listening to this understand that I had to do this. I had to cut this female out. Darko Malfoy says, did JF squeeze the non-white harder? Is this racial self-preservation? No, I didn't squeeze the Asian girlfriend harder because she was Asian. I squeezed harder because she kept asking for harder. I was like, oh, that's what she likes. By the way, I'm such a cold-blooded artist. I'm not interested in masochist, sadist sex. I'm not interested about this at all. In all my life, I have ever engaged in this at the request of woman. Majority of women want this. Majority of women will demand this if you don't do it. I know, because I never do it without a request. Never. I'm not excited at the idea of strangling someone. And I know once you do it, it's like you kind of get a taste for it. It's like, oh yeah. And then you come inside of her and it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of exciting, yeah. But I've seen too much in my life to value violence. and to be excited at it. I'm just too rational. It's like down to whatever crazy moments of my life, even when I come, I'm still rational enough to not deceive myself into fantasies of that sort. Walulu says, what kind of psycho as fish? That's another aspect of our interview. It's like, oh, he had fish as a teenager. Yeah, you know what? I guess I was born a biologist. I guess I was born a biologist. It's like the most wholesome possible teenage, teenage hobby. I went to an animal shop and I watched the fish and I said, wow, it would be nice to produce those fish. And I asked the animal lady, do you produce them or do you buy them? She said, oh, we buy them. It's impossible to breed them. And I was like, really? And I said, I think I could breed them. She said, no, you can't. That's the story of me becoming a teenage, fish farmer. I was like, I think I can. And she was like, no, you can't. They're too hard. And then I ended up doing a PhD on fish. A fucking PhD, 5 years of my life doing scientific research on fish. Walulu says, JF kept pregnant fish. They were pregnant. Yeah, and then I became a media personality, and my most mimetic moment ever came to be a comment about fish pregnancy. Now, it's like, are you doubting my fascination with biology? Oh, yeah. One other thing that she says in this interview is, they asked, does he talk about his book all the time? Like, does he talk about his book during sex? And I'm like, yeah, bitch. Oh, yeah, you want to get inseminated by the author of The Revolutionary Phenotype? Oh yeah, you want to feel my dick? You want to feel the dick of a real biologist, bitch? And her answer, no, that was just fantasy. The scene did not happen. But her answer to the Alberta housewives was, no. He almost never talks about his book. I don't think he's that into it. He's not even into it. And by that, she was kind of suggesting that somehow my book is a performative, a commercial product that I want to sell, but that I don't really care about the contents of it. Look, the reason I don't talk about my book in my private life is that I'm so much more than this book. I'm a father, I'm a lover, I'm a husband, and I'm just a human being, and I'm not going to annoy you with my theory of biology. It's just not relevant. You can be my wife with or without a belief in TRP. So that's why I don't annoy my children about... By the way, I don't annoy my family about anything that's related to my public life. They don't know about my ideology. I'm not pushing any ideology on people around me. I'm not like calling my brothers or my mom saying, hey, did you see the latest LGBT thing? That's not very good. They're now reading to children. I don't do that. And I wouldn't do it for the Revolutionary Phenotype either. It's not that I don't believe in the theory. And it's not that I don't care. I care a lot about this. But it's my public contribution. You know, a child expects other things from his father than some specific biology theory. That's irrelevant to father's life. Gay says, you are a libertarian and you live it. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what my life is. So we can now review some of the news and That's all I had to say about this relationship. I don't think I will engage very much with this anymore, because there you go, you have the whole story. And it is not like, if you watch her stream, you will see that it's just, I told you the whole narrative. She's trying to catch things that make me look bad. She's in the process of trying to tarnish my reputation. I'm not. I don't care about this random woman in the US who has my child. I don't care about her life being destroyed. But she cares about mine being destroyed. That tells you a lot about our psyches and her psyche. Why would you want to dishonorably even take just the fat body shaming comment? Why would you want this publicly forever? My child is under your care right now. He's going to be 18 years old in 2043. In 2043, my child with my genes is going to be free to interact with me however he wants. He's going to be free to respect me. And he may even be fat just like me. What is the point of a mother who has funneled her whole genetic investment in a single child with a man? What is the point of soiling the reputation of that man or mocking him for his body? What's the point? And this is where I'm kind of mind blown by this whole operation. What is your point? You want to make me suffer? You think you're going to cancel me? There's no canceling JF. There's no canceling JF. You have no idea. You could literally prove that I'm a murderer. I would be more popular from it, not less. So I don't know what guides her decision-making. Probably delusions. Probably massive misunderstandings. Because I know her. She's the definition of clueless. She's the definition of clueless. Because if she had a clue, she would realize that she has no interest in trying to destroy my life. Because one day, the genes of revolt, because I know what it is to be a teenager boy or man, becoming man with my genes. And let me tell you, it's not comfortable for the mom. Because even I, who had a superb good mom, I became kind of an ass to my mom at 16, 17, 18. And there was nothing that would keep me around her. I would claim my liberty. I had it activated emotionally inside my brain. I had to leave my mom. I had to get away, find liberty. I had to exclude her from... Not that she's been a bad mom in any way. So I know that even if you're the best mom in the world, the JF genes of revolution, when they start working in at 16, 17, 18, you have no chance against the force that is about to be deployed against you. You can get me in however much trouble with the Alberton state that you want. On 2043, on year 2043, our son will one day want to see me. And he's going to realize just how much obstacles you've put along the way. And the more obstacles, the more he will lose respect for you. And let me tell you, the genes of JF Revolution are inside of us, both me and my male children. And even in the face of the best mom in the world, they started kind of hating her for no reason at all. You have no chance. You have no chance. (Clears throat) Nick Fuentes has just been confirmed. Upcoming interview with Tucker on InfoWars. We had a super chat. Draco Malfoy sent a super chat. He says, Jeff, my French is not perfect. What was this Quebec woman complaining about men between 35 and 45 playing video games and living in virtual reality? I'm sorry, this is not the problem. She is victim blaming. The female is the gatekeeper of sex and babies. That's an important point because on my French show, we were called in by a woman, Étoile Dunas, who's been talking about her disappointment with men because they spend too much time on the internet or on their computer. You're right. I didn't call her out on this particular statement of hers because there was so much more that she was saying that I wanted to focus on how do we improve the life of this girl. But you are absolutely correct. All of this complaining that women do around men spending too much time on the computer, fuck off, woman. Fuck off. Like, I almost want to, you know, show you the cross of the Orthodox Church. Get the fuck out, woman. This has to stop because your man is a super machine of competition. And we live in a world where they cannot really express their competitive nature in anything else now at this point, basically. Some exceptions. But most lives are not competitive enough for the male, for the average male. Most lives they don't have enough of a challenge that by their nature they satisfy the male need for competition. Therefore, your male who is playing a lot of time on the computer, first it's because the rest of his life isn't necessarily interesting enough. So if you want to make it interesting, how about you touch his dick a little more? Hand on the dick 3 times a day. Suck his dick. Make him come 2-3 times a day. Don't stop it until he asks you to stop. And you'll see that your male will do a little less computer then. But even then, instead of complaining about the computer, just get into it with the man. Just say, oh, my love. Oh, Papa Jeff, I am so excited when you play computers. I am so happy that you are letting yourself relax a little bit. Can I bring you something to eat? Can I suck your dick while you play Dota? Like, you would be so much more comfortable as a wife if you acted a little bit like this. Why don't wives act like this? You have no idea of the psychological value of a supportive wife. Because you're not going to change the fact that your husband is on the computer. There's a certain amount of needs that he has in stimulation, and his life isn't providing it, so he's on the computer. Make it comfortable. Make it good for him. So yeah, Nick Fuentes has just been confirmed. The upcoming interview with Tucker Carlson. If you look at this little interaction that he has with Alex Jones.
And I heard you're going to be going up to be going to 20's big show soon.
Potentially, yeah. You've been talking about that on Twitter, but yeah. We'll
I didn't say
happens.
It. I just said look for it.
Yes.
All right. And I heard you're going to be going.
So they are referring to the fact that Alex Jones announced on Twitter that there will be a Tucker Carlson interview of Nick Fuentes, and it will be. Soon, probably published. I'm excited about it. I think it is the mainstreaming of Nick Fuentes. I think it has social consequences down the line. I believe that perhaps we are at this point where, you know, on the Millennial Woes show, I had once announced that we may be headed toward a time at which we can wear our cancel culture badges like medals of honor. And I think if Nick can make it into a good performance with Tucker, I believe it opens up a door for the mainstream to become more open to people who have risen through the internet meritocracy. So I'm very excited about this. I think what will happen is, I think that we'll see a much more conciliatory Tucker, because it's very easy to say, oh, he's a gay kid in his basement. That's very easy to say at a distance. But when you're faced with the guy and he's answering you rationally and he's like, you know, my position on this and that is subtle and here's where I stand. Where do you stand? Now, suddenly the gay kid in a basement, or you're a fed, that doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work anymore. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited at seeing a more conciliatory and more conciliatory Tucker with a on-point Nick Fuentes. I think it's what we're going to have. It's what needs to happen. And I think it will have consequences on culture, on internet culture. The more Nick Fuentes can shine, the more the rest of the world can be a little more free. Because this is what I've been advocating forever, which is, if you want real free speech, just elevate the speech of just one edgy speaker. And then everyone can live under his umbrella. Everyone can say, oh, well, if they accept him, then they shouldn't cancel me. And this is what we need. I don't think Nick is the edgiest thinker, but he's definitely the more popular, you know, the one who attracted the most following. So he's the one that can play that role. Neymar fan says, JF, is Nick going to be able to handle Tucker? He's very confrontational and good at making his opponents look silly with rhetoric. Tucker has no chance. Let me make clear predictions here. Tucker has no chance. Okay? Because Tucker, with his rhetoric, can be good in a format where he's being interviewed by someone unrelated. And he can go on Fox News, the Fox News host asks his questions, he makes his little rhetorical thing, but Tucker has not been shaped on the crucible. Tucker has not undergone the test of internet blood sports. Tucker has not been sharpened by the true meritocracy of the free internet. And therefore, Tucker is unfit to be able to crash Nick Fuentes in this interview. What will happen is that Nick Fuentes is going to run circles around him. I mean, it's gonna be interesting, because yes, it will turn out to be fairly neutral, because the fact is Tucker has no ammo. Tucker has nothing that he can come up with. Unless he starts like kind of being a leftist and saying, oh, well, racism and oh, well, that. But Nick Fuentes has all of the tools. Like for example, let's think about what could Tucker ask. Well, Tucker is going to make his point that, you know, I take issue with the Netanyahu government, but I don't take issue with Israel as a whole or APAC or, you know, Jewish influence in the U.S. Nick Fuentes is going to chew this argument up. There's no chance for Tucker that this stands scrutiny, because Nick is one of the most informed men on the internet on the vast ways with which Jewish power plays into American politics. There's not an angle he doesn't know. So how do you think it's going to land when Tucker says, oh, well, Netanyahu? Well, Nick is going to be able to say, all right, let's bar Netanyahu, but let's talk about this now. What about APAC? What about this? What about Jewish press? What about... Nick doesn't have... Nick basically has an infinite bucket of counters to Tucker that Tucker may have never heard. Or if he's heard it, he's probably dismissed it unfairly. He's not going to be able to dismiss a trained, sharpened intellectual like Nick Fuentes. So personally, I'm extremely excited. Minecraft is becoming woke. I mean, this has been going for a couple of years, I think, but be anti-racist. It's so sad to see Minecraft sold by the woke mentality. Nick Fuentes was tweeting today, "It's funny how Republicans are mad at me for not being a good sport or a team player now that I have some influence, even though those same people have been fucking with me for 10 years. You stopped pretending I don't exist 3 minutes ago. Now you're telling me what to do? Okay. You all tried to destroy me and my movement because I told the truth. And not only did you fail, but you were also wrong. If we can have a reckoning with that, then I might graciously accept my seat at the table with the gripers. Real Americans will have a voice." Boom. That is that is a strong Nick. I love the direction that Nick is taking. He is ascending to perhaps, yes, have a true seat at the table of American politics. And if he's denied it, then it really exposes the entryism of the system and the fact that ultimately they will never let a critique of Israel into it. Rodila says, "I think Nick should still prepare before going on Tucker. He should maybe sharpen his knives with Ryan Dawson or someone like that." I think it's too late because I think the interview is already recorded. I believe that the reason Alex Jones knows about it, I saw that Nick, you know, missed almost a whole week of streams. I think Nick traveled by plane, recorded the interview, and Tucker is currently doing the montage. That's my belief. I don't have privy information about it, but I think it's already in the bag. There was a conflict at X because some guy that works for the for X, Nikita Bier, started saying that we will get rid of the monetization payment system. And eventually Elon Musk came out and the X creators account itself came out and said, no, that's fake news. We are keeping the monetization. I do think that the monetization is an issue and that it's hurtful because it pushes people to do spam, to steal other people's content. And it creates these accounts that are really just designed to drain money. And it's like, no, the idea of Twitter was that it was human beings and they were genuinely sharing their views of something, sharing it publicly. That is what Twitter is, and it wasn't about milking. When it becomes about milking, it loses its authenticity. We learned that John Bolton has been sued, has been prosecuted. A grand jury has indicted him. He's going to face years in jail for mishandling of classified information. I think that's kind of the Trump gang going after those people who are evil, who have treated Trump poorly, those warmongers or Democrats at times who have been too rude to Trump. And so now Trump is punishing them. This is a case where John Bolton, I mean, has always been a kind of a loose, maybe loose is not the right word. He is a strict servant of neocon Israeli interests. Like he is truly an example of an absolute slave and puppet of the regime. And I'm happy that he's getting in trouble. Now, he was handling classified information, sending it to friends through email that were not secured. I don't really care about all this, but I'm happy that he's getting punished because he's always been this kind of a loose cannon, a man who kneels so hard that he doesn't have even his own principles. And let's finish with boobs, a last news item before we cut the show.
I do have a question for the gentleman. Why do nose rings, specifically septum rings on women, why is it an issue? I need you guys to lay it all out for me because I want to understand what the big deal is.
It is an issue, simply. It's not a dramatic issue. I would still inseminate you. You have beautiful boobs. But it tells me that you are broken inside and that there is a part of you that is kind of self-deprecating, because here you are violating a rule of natural beauty to look more devilish, less natural, less pure. And that tells me a lot about your mind. The fact that you think that's better, the fact that you say, I want to do that, I want to look less naive, I want to look less pure, I want to look less natural, and I want to do it in a way that's kind of offsetting, upsetting, devilish kind of look. It tells me that you have a self-deprecating mind. You probably like to be treated like a slut in sex. But there are many women like this.